And I think one of the challenges for 21st century leaders in all sorts of institutions is to think about not just how do you use the technologies of Web 2.0 in the way you deliver your service or your product, but how do you embed the underlying values in the way you run your institution.
That's Gary Hamill, writer and visiting professor of strategic and international management at the London Business School, and one of the keynote speakers at the 2010 EDUCAUSE Annual Conference. The conference takes place in Anaheim, California, October 12th through the 15th. Hamill's keynote, which is sponsored by Pearson, an EDUCAUSE Platinum partner, takes place on Wednesday, October 13th. The title of his speech is Reinventing Management for a Networked World. I recently spoke to him by phone about his upcoming speech. So as we approach the 2010 EDUCAUSE Annual Conference, we're definitely looking forward to your talk. I'm wondering if you could give a little bit of a preview or a peek by talking about a couple of the ways current management styles are out of step with the internet age.
You know, if you think about it, the internet is the most adaptable and innovative thing that human beings have ever created. It's just constantly morphing. It's a platform for incredible innovation of all sorts, individual innovation, business model innovation, social innovation. So that stands in marked contrast to most organizations who actually aren't all that adaptable and aren't all that innovative. And we've seen evidence of this over the last decade or so, where you see entire industries that have been caught behind the change curve. So I think one of the really interesting questions to ask today is, what are the values, the principles that imbue the web and those new social technologies with this capacity for adaptation and innovation? What makes them so? And then what do we learn from that in the way we structure and run our organization? So when you look at the web, you see this set of values around openness, flexibility, meritocracy, transparency, speed, experimentation. And I think one of the challenges for 21st century leaders in all sorts of institutions is to think about not just how do you use the technologies of Web 2.0 in the way you deliver your service or your product, but how do you embed the underlying values in the way you run your institution? Because certainly for any organization, and I think it's very, very true in education, probably the primary challenge is how do you build an organization that is as nimble as change itself? How do you ensure against irrelevance? And I think one of the things that makes this kind of particularly daunting, I would say, is if you're in an industry, and I think this is the education industry among a few others, if you're in an industry where the underlying business paradigm has not changed in 50 years, 100 years, 500 years, it's very difficult to imagine that it could change radically in the next 10. But of course, this has happened. It's happened in publishing. It's happened in the music industry. It is happening in the media industry more generally. And of course, education is, at one level, a media business. It's just about disseminating, creating and disseminating a particular kind of information. And so I think there is every chance that the world of education will change more over the next decade than it's changed, not over the last century, but you know, you think of how long the great universities have been around, probably more than it's changed over the last millennium. And so building organizations that are capable of the kind of business model innovation, creativity at their core, that's going to be necessary to survive and thrive through this very, very kind of discontinuous period that's in front of us, that's really, to me, the key test, the key challenge for every business leader. And I think in thinking how we're going to do that, there's a lot we can learn from the web.
How do larger institutions remain nimble?
I don't think it's a function of size. So let me turn the question around for a moment. What is it that gets in the way of being adaptable and resilient? And then when you understand those things, you can start to say, all right, how do I overcome, you know, those particular barriers? And I think one of the challenges is, you know, all of us have a certain capacity for denial. And, you know, it's easy as we look at the future, it's easy to discount it. Or to say it's, you know, change is going to happen more slowly, or it's really not going to play out that way. But there's a very deep human tendency to underestimate the speed and extent of change. And so I think, for me, number one, if you want to be an adaptable organization, you have to overcome that tendency to kind of take refuge in denial. And when I'm there with all of your constituents, I'll talk pretty specifically about how to do that. Number one, you know, the future's uncertain. It's often at any point in time. It's not exactly clear which new business model is going to win out or what exactly is the best course to take. In a discontinuous world, planning is not an entirely futile effort, but it's, you know, it has its definite limits. And instead, we just have to have a lot of experimentation. You've got to be trying a lot of things, seeing what's working, what's not. The things that work, you ramp them up. The other things, you kill. So institutions have to become much more experimental than they've been. And, you know, the idea we're going to sit here and plan ahead for 10 years and then just execute that, maybe that works in a university for their capital campaign. It certainly doesn't work as you think about how we're going to have to evolve our curriculum, the kinds of relationships we have with faculty, the way we deliver an educational product to our student. I think the third thing that's critical in all of this is an ability to rapidly reallocate resources and fund new things. You know, one of the things that often undermines the capacity for adaptability is that existing departments, programs, initiatives, they get funded kind of year after year, plus or minus 5%, and the really true out-on-the-edge things go begging and get underfunded. So you really can't build a resilient, adaptable organization unless you are willing to shift resources into new things and give them, you know, enough time, enough space so they can prove themselves out. I think probably a fourth thing that I would highlight, and this really is in a sense, I don't want to say it's unique to educational institutions, but it's certainly very much part of their challenge. Educational institutions have a wide variety of constituents that they are responsible to. So the faculty is kind of, you know, a core power group. The students are clearly a part of the equation, big part of the equation. You may have a state, a legislatures, or the accreditors and so on who are watching what you're doing. You have your alumni and so on, and the folks you're trying to raise funds from, and the foundations that are supporting the research. And I think one of the challenges, and I'll dig into this in some depth, but one of the challenges is, how do you move an organization forward when you have so many varying interests at work? And I think what it takes is a process of strategy creation that is very involving, very broad-based, very transparent, and where it becomes impossible for any particular constituency to kind of put a brake on the need to change. So the traditional kind of way of developing a vision and a way forward for an organization, small number of people working for several months, creating a vision, so on, then kind of selling it, blowing it out to the organization, I don't think that works in the world today. You need more inputs at the front end, more ideas. You need to generate more interesting strategic options. You need to really involve people at every step so they see what's changing in the world. They feel it in their guts. They understand why, you know, more of the same is not enough. At every stage, you have to build that commitment to change and build that commitment to innovation. That takes a lot of involvement, a lot of transparency, and therefore a very different kind of way of developing strategy and direction in an institution. So the good news is, given a lot of the new technologies we have with Web 2.0, it's easier than ever before to create that kind of broadly involving and highly engaging process for thinking about where as a university, where as an educational institution do we go next. But, you know, the thought I might leave folks with, and they can actually think a little bit about this, maybe if they're going to have the chance to see this before our conference, is, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest barrier to adaptation in any organization is its own unexamined beliefs about who it's serving and how it serves them and how it funds itself, how it makes money. And I think there are a whole host of deeply embedded orthodoxies in most educational institutions about who the student is and how they serve them and how they relate to the faculty. And if we are unwilling to challenge those foundational assumptions, many educational institutions, I think, are going to find themselves in the position that you know, other industries have found themselves when they really were unable to challenge first principles.
Without giving away, you know, too much of your talk, how can we create management innovation in higher education?
To build an institution that is more adaptable and more innovative, the most important thing you have to change is the processes by which that institution is run. So how do people get hired? How do they get promoted? How do you allocate resources? How do you create strategies and plans, as we were talking about a moment ago. How do you evaluate people? On what basis do you compensate them? And the reality is most of the management processes we have in our organizations were built there to help us do things reliably with, you know, five nines reliability to help us do them efficiently. But they really weren't, those management processes were not invented with the objective of making organizations more innovative or more adaptable. And so if you look certainly in the commercial world and you see all of these organizations that suddenly have found themselves on the back foot, who kind of lost their mojo, I would argue, you know, most of the reason for that is the management processes they had internally really drove them to be better and to be faster and cheaper, but there is not much in those processes that drove them to be different. And drove them to, you know, think kind of in fundamentally new ways about their business model and how they added value. So I think that's why, if you think about it, those management processes, they're a little bit like our DNA. And, you know, there's a reason that dogs don't find it easy to walk on their hind legs, because dogs have quadruped DNA, right? They don't have biped DNA. And our organizations don't have adaptability, kind of innovation, pro-change DNA. So to change that, you really have to change the fundamental DNA of our organizations. And the only way to do that is you have to go in and look at every one of those management processes I mentioned a moment ago and said, in what ways does this management process reflexively favor more of the same? In what ways does it give too much voice to the custodians of conventional wisdom? In what ways does it kind of just bake in or take as givens long-standing but now kind of hoary old assumptions about what business we're in and how we add value? So unless you can re-engineer those management processes in ways that make them catalysts for innovation rather than barriers, an organization doesn't have much hope of being truly adaptable.
I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to add about your upcoming keynote address?
You know what? I think we covered a lot of ground.
We sure did. We sure did more than I thought we would. And I appreciate your time. I look forward to your talk in Anaheim, California. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye. Gary Hamill, writer and visiting professor of strategic and international management at the London Business School. He'll be speaking at the EDUCAUSE 2010 annual conference on Wednesday, October 13th. For more information, visit www.educause.edu/E2010.